As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide supports financial professionals with client-friendly resources and innovative solutions to help create greater retirement security for their clients. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
Welcome to the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. I'm Tom Keene, along with Jonathan Farrell and Lisa Abramowitz. Daily, we bring you insight from the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. Find Bloomberg Surveillance on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Bloomberg.com, and of course, on the Bloomberg Terminal.
Liz Truss stepping down, really highlighting, though, the tenuousness of an inflationary environment for political parties globally.
In our special coverage, we're on until Tottenham wins again, right?
So then we're going to be on to the day we die. Right now, we want to just get a sense, though, honestly, it is important to put this into perspective, and Michael Purvis can help us do that just briefly before diving back into the political fray in the United Kingdom. Michael Purvis of Talbot Capital, as you've been parsing through all of the political discussion, how much of a message do you take back to markets to this idea that they are in charge and they are imposing fiscal discipline?
Well, I think there's a really important overarching theme here that we can divine from this whole Truss episode here, which is that, look, the Fed has been on this sort of America first monetary policy that has been of course, very hawkish as it needs to tamp down inflation here in the U.S. But when you have fiscal experiments overseas that are that Truss, you know, put forward and that are not sensible policies, the what it means for global risk assets is really sort of magnified here. So you have a collision. What I'm saying here is that the range of big, weird outcomes for the markets is much higher when you have this collision of bad fiscal policy with what the Fed is doing right now. And I think that's very, 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 very important. I mean, I think it's a fair statement that central banks generally like low currency balls here, right? It just makes their job easier. And we're in a state of where, you know, we can talk about rate vol being super high and, of course, equity vol's high. But FX balls are super, super high here. And it ultimately makes the central bank, you know, we're all grappling through when central banks are going to be more, you know, sort of not led around the nose by inflation and hydrocarbons, and when they can actually lead as opposed to be reactive. And these types of situations only make central banks, whether it's the BOE or even spill over to the Fed, more reactive.
Michael, that's right where I wanted to go. Neil Shearing to join us later in this hour with a real focus on the United Kingdom economy. But as Mr. Purvis, folks, talks about vol and, of course, his careful study of the Pacific Rim and ADXY, it is thrilling to bring you this morning Nick Benenbrook. He is Wells Fargo international economist, but he viscerally understands the Pacific Rim with his heritage of New Zealand, and far more, is the only person on the planet who has been award-winning in foreign exchange in back-to-back years. Nick, I guess it's good you're not an FX strategist this morning. Purvis talks about FX vol. Give us the vol we're going to see on British pound sterling.
Well, I think certainly for the next few days, we can expect this volatility to continue. It might actually be in the upwards direction because you could argue that political and policy uncertainty is reducing in the United Kingdom. And so we might see a bit more of a relief and go back towards the sort of even up to the 113, 114 level. So, I think we're going to see some further up move. over the months ahead, you know, I think as dust settles, we'll start to see markets calm down a little, and we might actually start to see the pound, when it's faced with the reality of the UK economy, the pound might start to give back some of those gains.
Nick, to what Michael Purvis alluded to, and if it is Britain in crisis, maybe it's Hungary in crisis, maybe it's Thailand in crisis, will Jerome Powell need to blink because of the international economics and politics we observe?
No, I don't think he will have to blink. I mean, we would still expect a 75 basis point increase at that November meeting from the Federal Reserve.
Yes, of course.
And as one of your, and you know, I think we still look for a 50 and eventually getting to 5% on the Fed funds rate. I think the UK events are instructive in the sense of it does come back, as one of your previous guests said, how sort of unorthodox or unusual are the fiscal policies. And, you know, they were fairly unorthodox in the case of the UK, just in terms of the magnitude and the way that they were delivered. And it doesn't look like here in the US, for example, or even across the Eurozone in general, that we're going to see such expansive fiscal policies. So for the major markets, I think it won't be an issue. But for the markets that you mentioned, the likes of Hungary and Thailand, they may face some challenges.
Michael Purvis still with us. And Michael, I'd love to get your take on what Nick is talking about, that there is some more stability, but the stability speaks to a more significant downturn, at least in the short run, based on the lack of borrowing. How much are you factoring that into some of your outcomes and your theses?
Well, look, I think what this whole trust episode really sort of reiterates is that we need kind of boring policy, if you will, right? And I think there's this inevitable tension where you know, like a politician's biggest, and one of their biggest enemies is surging food and energy inflation. And there's always sort of a temptation to put in novel fiscal policies when they're actually the worst things for the situation. So we kind of need to see things get a lot more boring. But I agree with my co-guest that I think if for the major markets here, if things can be a little bit more static and stable, then more of the blow-ups will be relegated to more the niche markets here. But I think if the takeaway here from this trust situation is that she's gone and we're going to go to a much, you know, more technocratic and less quote unquote innovative fiscal policy, so you know, responses to this high inflation, that's going to be sort of enhance market stability here, yeah. which is sorely needed.
Perhaps another way of saying talk of MMT might have died a very rapid death over the past few months. Nick Benenbrook is still with us. I am wondering what this means in terms of energy policy for Europe at a time when a lot of nations, including Germany, were looking to spend extensively to stave off some of the gaps in the household budgets. Does this torpedo some of that, or does that pressure the euro and just German yields higher in a way that hasn't fully been realized yet?
No, I don't think it's going to derail those energy price plans that we've seen across Europe. I did see some estimates the other day, maybe in the region of 40 to 50 billion euros to sort of help support the energy price plans there. And, you know, even going back to the UK experience, it wasn't so much the initial energy price cap that caused the consternation on the part of market participants. It was the growth plan in late September and the unfunded policies there. So coming back to my earlier comment, I don't perceive the extent of fiscal support or fiscal expansion that they're talking about across Europe as being so dramatic that they'll have to move away from those policies.
Nick Benenbrook, just for you, and with such respect for your FX ability to call over the years, I looked at sterling New Zealand dollar. I don't know what that's called. Is that sterling Kiwi? Is that the fancy talk? I've never done it.
Me. I love this.
I've never done it before. Nick Benenbrook, the bottom line is massive New Zealand strength over 20 years, and now we're buttressed down at the low end, a strong New Zealand dollar trading range. What are the ramifications for the global system if we see things like sterling Kiwi break out to new sterling weakness? That's an instability that Michael Purvis was talking about.
Well, again, I think coming back to your previous comment, though, Tom, it depends on the extent of volatility and just how dramatic those moves are. You know, in my I mean, I've been around for a while, 20 years, maybe even longer. We've seen some unusual things. The Australian dollar trading above parity against the US dollar, for example, would be one of those. So I think so. If this is just reflective of maybe increasing commodity prices in general and just the relative performance of these economies, then if you continue to move in that direction, so long as it's orderly, I think it's not problematic. It does. 20 years ago, I was living in London for a couple of years. So, you know, maybe I should be living there now. It would have been much nicer given the Kiwi sterling exchange rate.
Wells Fargo international economist Nick Benenbrook, thank you so much. Also, our thanks to Michael Purvis for your guidance here. Inflation, market volatility, economic insecurity. Who isn't looking for greater retirement security these days? As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide helps millions of people invest in their financial futures. With client-friendly resources and innovative solutions, Nationwide supports financial professionals so they can help clients feel more confident in their retirement years. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Right now, we want to get a sense, just going to the economic picture, really at the core of the turmoil and the core of what's to come. Capital Economics Chief Economist Neil Shearing joining us now. What's your sense, Neil, of how the ramification of this will play out for the United Kingdom as the world's sixth largest economy at a time of such tumult, both from the leadership as well as, honestly, from an inflation standpoint?
Well, look, the sixth largest economy at the moment, but factoring the weaker pound, it may not be the sixth largest economy for much longer. I think that the key thing, and you touched on this in some of the reporting earlier, is less at the moment who's in number 10 and who's in number 11, who's running the Treasury, what they're saying about fiscal policy, the extent to which there's a steady hand on the tiller there in the context of all the tumult that we've seen over the past several weeks. Now, the news that Johnson might be back and putting his name on the ballot paper, I think, is literally the last thing that the UK bond markets will want to see. So let's see how that one plays out. But the economic picture is pretty grim, I have to say. There's a huge squeeze in real incomes coming down the track. Interest rates have got to rise further, irrespective of what's happening to fiscal policy. The housing market looks vulnerable to me. The Bank of England needs to do more work to squeeze inflation out of the system. Which way you look, there are challenges.
Neil, I want you to talk, and you've done great work on this at Capital Economics. I'd really say industry-leading work on the polarity, the delusion, folks. As I go from Heathrow in on a limo to the fancy hotel, walk across the street, enjoy Queen Victoria Street, fly home and say I went to England. And that's, of course, a complete fiction. Neil Shearing, outside the elite climes of London, how bad is it for the United Kingdom economy?
It's bad. It's bad in London. It's bad in the United Kingdom generally. I think you're right. There is huge disparity, both of economic growth and income growth, and also wealth within the economy, and that's to a much greater extent in the UK than is in the case in other European cities, and there's other European countries, and there's lots of reason for that: poor infrastructure, poor skills, poor dispersion of technologies and across industries within the UK. But you're correct. I mean, London is and London in the southeast, incomes and income growth are far higher than is the case elsewhere in the country. But you know, this is not the case that the rest of the country is suffering while London is powering ahead. London is going to suffer in this downturn too.
You talked about the sixth largest economy for now and where it was headed. What do you see in terms of what kind of downturn you're expecting and how this turmoil really plays into it?
Well, look, in terms of the pure economic downturn, I think we're looking, staring down the barrel of probably a 2% fall in GDP, something like that, peak to trough. I think a lot of that will be felt in the household sector, consumers coming under enormous pressure, the housing market and construction coming under pressure too. The question really is whether or not that, in turn, there's feedback loops through the financial system that amplifies those shocks and makes things even worse. Now, interestingly, I think the interesting question from the market's perspective is how much of that is now priced in? It's interesting that the Truss has resigned this afternoon, London time, and the bond markets didn't really move. The currency markets have not really moved. The big move came last week when Hunt came in, unwound a lot of the fiscal measures. And so I think a lot of that risk premium right. that went into the UK markets has probably already unwound itself.
Neil, we are advantaged to close with you today. Thank you so much. Neil Shearing for Capital Economics. Again, I can't say enough about the firms where get their research from Capital Economics. We protect the copyright of all of our guests. This is the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. Thanks for listening. Join us live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television each day from 6 to 9 a.m. for insight from the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. And subscribe to the Surveillance Podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Bloomberg.com, and of course, on the Terminal. I'm Tom Keene, and this is Bloomberg.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Meet Gary. Gary's about to become an Einstein in an instant.
Whoa, Einstein hair. I like it.
That's right, Gary, because you're using Salesforce powered by Einstein AI to connect data, predict business trends, generate personalized content, and wow customers.
I do feel a lot smarter.
Because you're not just Gary anymore. You're Gary, empowered by Einstein AI.
Did you hear that, team? I'm an Einstein.
Oh, can I get a selfie?
The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.